The two large birds guarding the nest suddenly rose in the air. Together, they extended their powerful claws and snatched Telek from the nest. Beating their wings, they carried a struggling Telek away. Anakin leaped onto the branch next to Obi-Wan. Good plan, Master. We need to get Ren down from that tree. It can't be as easy as it looks. Obi-Wan leaped from branch to branch. When he got onto the tree next to Ren's, he examined the area carefully. Ren could not move his eyes, yet Obi-Wan felt the force roll out from him in strong waves. Ren was warning him. I know, Ren, he called to him. We will take our time, but we'll get you out. The ground at the bottom of the tree was thickly carpeted with blooms, just like every other tree. But here the blooms were massed a little too thickly. The pattern was not random enough. Anakin, swing down and examine the ground under the tree, Obi-Wan instructed. But be careful. Don't get too close. Anakin eased down to the ground. He circled the tree, gazing carefully down. These blossoms have been placed here. That's what I thought. Something is underneath. Before Obi-Wan could stop him, Anakin tossed a rock into the mass of flowers. It disappeared. There's a trench down there, Anakin called up. You're lucky there wasn't an explosive, Obi-Wan said disapprovingly. Sometimes Anakin acted too rashly. If he could teach the boy one thing, it would be to wait. He began to study the tree branches. He noticed seams running through several of the branches. I think I get it, he called down to Anakin. These branches have been cut through, then resealed. They won't take our weight. We would have crashed through, right into that trench. And then he could have hit us with some paralyzing darts, Anakin finished. Pretty simple plan. Simple is sometimes best, Obi-Wan said. Lucky for us, it was not in this case. We'll have to use our cable launchers to get Ren. Using their launchers, the Jedi swung close to Ren and managed to cut him free. Obi-Wan supported him as he released his cable launcher and they dropped to the ground. He carefully placed Ren on the ground and examined him. There was a long gash on one leg, and his arm looked bruised. He had a blaster wound to the shoulder. He must have been in pain. Obi-Wan reached for the Bacta in his kit and administered it. You will be fine, but you need better care than we can give you here, he told Ren. We must get you back to the temple. That means we need a ship, Anakin said. Telek must be nearby, Obi-Wan said, rising to his feet. Anakin looked around. Where are Flory and Dane? They were supposed to wait by the hill. I think I know where I can find them, too, Obi-Wan said. Chapter 12 Floria and Dane sat by Telek's ship at the end of the meadow. They jumped up when they saw Obi-Wan and Anakin. We saw the battle, Floria said. I'll never underestimate the Jedi again. The way you strategized. The way you moved. Nice Star Cruiser, Anakin said, circling around Telek's ship. We can get to Coruscant on this. Don't bother going inside yet, Obi-Wan said. The engine's been disabled. Anakin poked his head around the side of the ship and looked at Obi-Wan quizzically. Obi-Wan looked at Floria and Dane. Well, he said sternly. Dane opened his hand. A sensor lay in it. Just a little part, he said. And the engine is easily fixed. It's an activation sensor for the sublight drive. So Telek wouldn't be able to leave the atmosphere, Anakin said. He'd have to rely on repulsor lift engines. And a warning light would tell him so, Obi-Wan finished. He'd know he wouldn't be able to take off without work on the engine. And while he was working on it, you'd disable him. And take off with us for the prize. Floria tried to smile. Hey, it was worth a try. Wait a second, Anakin said. This means that you expected Telek to capture us. No offense, Dane said. What kind of bounty hunters would we be if we didn't explore all the alternatives? Glaring at Dane, Anakin strode forward and snatched the part from his hand. Don't worry, Master. I can fix the engine in no time at all. Anakin accessed the engine panel on the exterior of the ship. He withdrew a small hydro spanner from his utility kit, and his head disappeared inside. Muffled exclamations floated out to the others. Finally, Anakin emerged, his face streaked with grease. "You shorted out the sublight engine fuses and deactivated the power converter. I can't fix this." "I did?" Dane looked surprised. "I didn't mean to. I don't know that much about engines," he confided to Obi-Wan. Floria smacked her brother on the arm. "I told you to be careful. Now how are we supposed to get out of here?" "You're the one who told me to disable it," Dane protested. "You said it was a good idea. If I'd known you didn't know how, I wouldn't have suggested it." Obi-Wan heaved an exasperated breath. If he could leave these two behind, he would. But something told him that he still needed them. "Stop squabbling, you two. We have to take Ren back to the temple. We'll have to return and find the other bounty hunter's ship."
"Go back down the mountain?" Floria asked in dismay. "I'm exhausted."
"And dusk will be here soon," Dane tried. Obi-Wan shouldered his pack. "Then we'd better get started." They left Ren wrapped in a blanket inside Telek's ship. Anakin was able to reconfigure the ship's security code so that Ren would be protected inside. Even if Telek somehow managed to get free of those birds, he would not be able to board his ship. At least Ren would have warmth and shelter. Promising to return soon, they set off down the mountain again. "It's been almost 5 hours," Obi-Wan told Anakin. "With luck, the bounty hunter will be just getting over his paralysis. He'll have no choice but to cooperate." "We certainly are developing a collection of bounty hunters," Anakin remarked. "Unfortunately, they're not all as harmless as Flory and Dane," Obi-Wan said. Anakin looked at him curiously. "You knew Floria wasn't telling the truth from the beginning, didn't you?"
"I suspected as much," Obi-Wan admitted. "But I had no way of knowing what she was concealing."
"I believed her story," Anakin said, frowning. "Why didn't the Force warn me?"
Obi-Wan smiled. "The Force is not a truth serum, Padawan. The ability to read a being's true motives comes with experience and patience. I was once very bad at it. Qui-Gon taught me how to look and listen. Floria betrayed herself by playing on her sympathies just a bit too much. And you knew they would find Telek's ship and try to disable it."
"Experience," Obi-Wan said. "It tells me that beings follow their best interests. Floria and Dane have had to fight their way through the galaxy. They are used to looking out for themselves. Naturally, they would still try to foil another bounty hunter winning the prize."
Obi-Wan put a hand on Anakin's shoulder. "Do not trouble yourself, Padawan. You have an open heart. This is a good thing. With time, you will learn the balance you need in a galaxy where all beings do not tell the truth. Your impulsiveness is a source of energy and power for you, but it can lead to trouble. You will learn to be more careful. Sometimes it is better to walk than run."
"I got us into trouble with the Malia, and then in the cavern," Anakin admitted. "I'm sorry, Master."
"Danger finds us in every mission," Obi-Wan said. "Let us look forward." They followed the winding path down the mountain once again. When they reached the site of their battle with the Tertia, they hurried through the meadow. Ahead, they could see the camouflaged tent. As they walked forward, they could distinguish the Tertia still slumped against the tree.
"He's still paralyzed," Anakin said, starting forward.
Obi-Wan stopped him.
"No, Padawan. He's dead."
Chapter 13.
Obi-Wan crouched over the body.
"Poisoned," he said.
Anakin leaned forward curiously.
"Flechette canister?"
"No, see the flecks on his lips. It is a fast poison, injected in the neck." Obi-Wan gently moved the Tertia's head.
"Here."
Obi-Wan stood. "Do you have your tarp?" Anakin withdrew the tarp from his survival pack. Gently, Obi-Wan wrapped the body.
"We will come back for him," he murmured. "We must take him to Coruscant. He might have had family."
He stood, his eyes roaming the area.
"Now we must return to our problem. We must find his ship."
They split up and searched the area thoroughly, but they could not find the ship the bounty hunter had used. "One of the other bounty hunters must have stolen it," Obi-Wan said. "Maul Arcosite, perhaps."
"Do you think she killed him?"
"Possibly,"
Obi-Wan said. But one of the others could have done it. We have no way to know. What now? Anakin wondered. We're stuck on the planet with no comm unit. We have one last sabacc card to play, Obi-Wan said. He turned to Floria and Dane. What? Floria shifted nervously. We told you everything we know. I don't think so, Obi-Wan answered. If you had captured us, where would you have taken us? To Grand Omega, of course, Dane answered. How would you have contacted him? Obi-Wan asked. You must have some sort of prearranged line of communication. Floria and Dane gave each other a nervous look. Because you're going to use it.